Imagine for a moment you're navigating a vast, ever-expanding city. But this isn't your typical grid, you know, not perfect squares.
Right, not uniform.
Exactly. Picture a metropolis where the layout grows outwards, stretching, widening, but in a really specific, almost organic way.
Following a kind of natural logic.
Yeah, a logarithmic logic. And some roads are super fast, others slow. So the question is, how on earth would you find the absolute quickest route in that kind of dynamic, unusual landscape from where you start to somewhere way out there?
That's a great puzzle.
Well, you're in luck because this isn't just a fun thought experiment. Today, we're taking a deep dive into some really fascinating research tackling exactly this
We're talking first passage percolation.
on these things called logarithmic subgraphs of Z2. Yeah. So, our mission for this deep dive, give you a shortcut, basically, to understand how travel times work on these weird expanding networks, and honestly, get ready for some real aha moments about efficiency, predictability.
And even sudden shifts in how these systems behave.
Yeah.
Big changes.
Exactly. So, maybe start with the basics. What is this terrain?
Okay, so let's picture Z2 first. That's your standard infinite city grid. Perfect squares, all connections the same. Nice and simple.
Got it. Like a huge sheet of graph paper.
Pretty much. But here's the twist.
Yeah.
We're not looking at the whole grid. We focus on a subgraph, a specific piece of it.
A region within the graph paper.
Exactly. And we often call it a wedge. It's defined by a mathematical function.
Okay, let's unpack that wedge idea. Imagine taking a slice of that infinite grid, but the width of the slice as you go outwards, it's not constant.
Right, it grows.
It grows logarithmically, so not a straight corridor, think more like a river maybe, gradually widening the further downstream you go.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
And the function defining this growth has these two key parameters, A and B.
Ah, right, the dials.
Yeah, like dials on the growth machine. Perihelion sort of controls the main logarithmic widening, how fast the river spreads out.
Okay.
And B adds this second, even slower logarithmic layer, like a fine-tuning dial for the expansion.
So it's a very specific shape.
Very specific. The paper calls it the GAV graph, G for graph shaped by A and B.
Makes sense. Gab. So that's our unique terrain. Now, how do we travel on it?
Right. That brings us to first passage percolation, or FPP. Imagine every road, every edge in our wedge gets a random travel time. We call it TOF for an edgy.
Okay, so each path segment has a cost, a time cost.
Exactly. And if you want to get from your home, say the origin, out to some distant line, you don't necessarily want the shortest path in terms of like number of blocks.
No, you want the fastest path, minimum total time.
That's FPP, minimizing the sum of those tiles along the path, optimizing for speed.
Got it.
And this research really focuses on something called a gap condition for these travel times.
It's a gap condition. What's that?
It means there's a specific probability, let's call it P, that any given road has zero travel time.
Zero. Like it's free, instantaneous.
Exactly, an instant passage. Otherwise, if it's not zero, it takes at least some minimum positive time.
Okay, so some roads are free shortcuts.
Right. And this raises a huge question, especially if you're thinking about network design. How does having these free roads, and crucially, how many of them there are, that's P, affect the overall travel time across the whole network?
Yeah, I can see that. If you think about data routing or transit systems,
Or even supply chains?
then.
How do those free rides, those shortcuts, change the whole dynamic? How efficient does it make the system?
So the main goal here, the big question for this deep dive, is how does the average fastest time, the expected passage time from the origin out to a distant line, say at xn, how does that time grow as n gets really big?
As our wedge city expands, how long does it take, on average, to reach the edge?
Right.
And here's the kicker. It's not a simple answer. Not one formula fits all.
Ah.
That's the big aha moment, really. The growth rate is incredibly nuanced. It depends heavily on those A and B dials shaping the wedge.
The structure itself.
And crucially, on P, the probability of a free road. The study actually uncovers several completely different transport regimes.
Regimes, like different modes of travel speed.
Exactly, with wildly different behaviors.
Okay, let's get into these regimes. What if exactly half the roads are free? So P equals 12. What happens then?
Right, so P equals 12 is special. It's the critical threshold for what's called bond percolation on the regular Z2 grid.
Meaning on normal graph paper, that's where infinite free paths just start appearing.
Precisely. Now, on our logarithmic wedge gate, when PD12, the expected travel time grows roughly like n divided by a log n.
A log n. Okay, so that's not linear in, it's slower.
Much slower. It's sublinear growth. Faster than staying constant, obviously, but much slower than just proportional to n.
So even with half the roads being free passages,
yeah,
the logarithmic shape, that widening river, it still creates a kind of drag. It slows things down compared to a straight shot.
That's a great way to put it. The expanding structure creates inherent resistance. Even with lots of free paths, you don't get that super fast linear travel. A log n in the denominator shows that resistance from the wedge's shape scaled by a.
Okay, that makes sense. Structure matters. But what if we have more than half free roads, P12? That sounds like things could get really interesting.
Oh, they do. This is where the landscape of behaviors just explodes. You get multiple distinct transport possibilities, all depending on the fine interplay between A and B.
Wow.
And we also need to consider another factor here, 1P. You can think of X as something called a correlation length. Basically, X1P measures how clustered or sticky the non-free paths are. If it's high, those slow roads clump together and block routes more effectively.
Okay, so it's about how the slow parts connect or don't connect.
Exactly. So first subcase, if our dial, the main growth rate is relatively small compared to this X1P stickiness factor, the passage time still grows sublinearly, but the formula changes. It's like n raised to some power involving A, ek, divided by log n raised to another power involving B and ek.
Okay, still sublinear, but the exponents are now tuned by A, B, and this x thing. It's getting complicated.
It is. It shows how sensitive the travel time is to these parameters when you have lots of free paths.
So what's next? What if we crank those dials A and B differently?
Okay, now imagine we did a very specific balance.
Yeah.
A is equal to ek1p, but B is still less than A.
Right.
Here, we see a drastically slower growth. The time scales, like log n, raised to some power.
Wait, log n, not n.
No n dependence or hardly any. The main distance factor n has almost vanished from the equation.
Whoa, so the distance you travel almost doesn't matter anymore for the time it takes. How?
It seems the network structure, combined with all those free paths, P12, becomes so efficient at finding shortcuts that the overall distance n becomes much less relevant.
That's incredible. Nearly independent of distance.
Okay.
Does it get even slower?
It does. Yeah. There's one more super specific configuration. If B also equals A and both are equal to ek1p.
Okay. A very precise setting.
Very precise. Then the growth slows down even more, shrinking to just log n.
Log n.
Log n.
That's astonishingly slow growth. Compared to linear n or even log n, if you double the distance n, the log n barely budges.
It's almost like the travel time becomes constant in practice. It grows so slowly. The network is almost too efficient.
It feels like teleportation at that point. So log n, is that the slowest or can it stop growing entirely?
It can actually become bounded.
Yeah.
Essentially constant.
Constant, no matter how big n gets.
Right. This happens in the other cases. Like if A is strictly greater than L1PE, or if A equals 1P but B is greater than it, in those scenarios, the expected passage time doesn't keep growing indefinitely. It reaches a limit.
So beyond a certain distance, it basically takes the same average time to get there no matter how much further there is.
Exactly. The network acts like a superhighway. Once you're on it, the added distance costs almost nothing in time.
Okay, let me try to sum this up. The way the wedge grows, A and B, and how many free roads you have completely changes the game. You can go from time scaling almost with n, well, n log n, to scaling with log n, then log n, and finally, basically constant time.
That's it. It's not just a smooth change. These are fundamentally different ways the network functions for transport.
Different regimes, as you called them.
Distinct transport regimes. Each one represents a fundamental shift based on these parameters. It really highlights the hidden complexity in these seemingly simple logarithmic structures.
Amazing. Okay, let's switch gears a bit. You mentioned percolation earlier. Tell us more about that.
Right. Percolation is generally about connectivity. In this context, we're looking at whether an infinite path of those open zero-weight edges can form. Can you find a free highway that goes on forever?
Uh-huh. Within our wedge graph.
Within our gab wedge. Now, on a standard full grid like Z2, the point where these infinite clusters suddenly appear, the phase transition is generally thought to be continuous.
Continuous, like a gradual change.
Yeah. Think of slowly turning up a dial. The property you're measuring changes smoothly, like heating water gets gradually hotter until it boils.
Okay. So what happens on our logarithmic wedges? Is it still smooth?
And here's the big surprise. No, it's not always continuous.
Uh-huh.
The research shows that the percolation phase transition on these gapy graphs can be discontinuous.
Discontinuous, like a sudden jump.
Exactly, a sudden or abrupt change. And it happens specifically if and only if BA.
Only when B is greater than A, that's the condition.
That's the condition. If that secondary slower logarithmic growth factor B is stronger than the primary 1A, the transition snaps.
Wow. So instead of infinite paths gradually becoming more likely, you could cross that B a threshold and suddenly jump from having basically none to having lots of them.
Precisely. It's like water suddenly freezing or boiling, a sharp, non-gradual change. And this is a really important refinement.
How so?
Well, previous work suggested this discontinuity happened if B to A. This paper sharpens that condition significantly down to just BA.
So this jumpy discontinuous behavior happens in a much wider range of these logarithmic networks than we thought.
Exactly. It's more common than previously understood.
That has huge implications, doesn't it, for network design?
Absolutely. Imagine a communication network. If its large-scale connectivity can suddenly appear or disappear just by slightly changing its structural parameters relative to each other.
That's critical information. You need to know if your network is near one of those critical B cliffs.
You really do. It's about robustness and predicting potential sudden failures or, conversely, sudden emergences of connectivity.
Okay, so we have these different time regimes and this surprising discontinuous percolation. What about the fluctuations? Are the travel times always close to the average, or do they vary wildly?
Good question. The research also looks at the variance of the passage time, how much individual trips might deviate from that expected average we calculated.
Right.
And what they find is, for the cases where the average time diverges, meaning it keeps growing with n.
Like the n, log n, and log n cases.
Exactly. In those regimes, the variance grows at the same rate as the mean.
The same rate. So if the average time doubles, the typical spread around that average also roughly doubles.
That's the idea. The fluctuations are proportional to the average journey time itself. It gives you a sense of the expected variability. More travel time means potentially more variation around that time.
That's useful. It tells you the uncertainty scales with the task. So does it all become chaotic, or is there some predictability in how these times are spread out?
There is predictability. Despite all this complexity with ABP and the different regimes, the study shows something quite remarkable.
Yeah.
If you take the passage time, subtract the mean, and divide by the standard deviation, you know, normalize it.
Standard statistics stuff.
Right. Then the resulting distribution follows a normal distribution. The classic bell curve.
Really? Even with all those weird growth rates and phase transitions?
Even with all that,
yeah,
it's incredibly powerful. It means the pattern of variations around the average is well-behaved and predictable, just like many phenomena in nature.
So underneath the complexity, there's still this fundamental statistical order.
Exactly. It brings a sense of order to the fluctuations.
Okay, let's try to wrap this up. We've journeyed through this fascinating world of logarithmic wedge graphs, Gab. We found that how fast you can travel depends dramatically on how the wedge grows those A and B parameters and on how many free roads there are, P.
Right, leading to wildly different timescales from nearly linear in, a log n, all the way down to log n, or even becoming constant.
Totally different transport regimes. And then there was that surprising discovery about percolation.
A discontinuous phase transition. That sudden jump in connectivity when BA, which is different from the usual smooth transitions we expect.
Yeah, a real counterintuitive finding. And finally, despite all this variation and complexity, the actual fluctuations in travel time, they scale with the average and they follow a predictable pattern.
The normal distribution, yeah.
This deep dive really shows the hidden mathematical beauty, but also the surprising, almost dramatic complexity in how transport works on these non-uniform expanding networks.
It really does.
It makes you think, what does this mean for the real world? For designing, say, future communication networks, or maybe even planning cities that grow organically.
Or understanding how information spreads in complex social networks that aren't simple grids.
Exactly. Could designing structures with specific logarithmic properties, understanding these critical thresholds like BA, could that help us build more efficient systems?
Cool.
Or maybe prevent unexpected sudden collapses in connectivity?
It certainly poses some provocative questions for engineers, planners, and scientists working with complex networks. How can we leverage this understanding?
Definitely something to think about. Lots to explore there.